Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the CE Info Systems Limited MapmyIndia Q2 FY23 results conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shobhit Singhal from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lisa. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Anand Rathi, we welcome you all to Q2 FY23 conference call of CE Info Systems, MapmyIndia. We have with us today Mr. Rakesh Verma, Co-founder and Chairman of the company, Mr. Rohan Verma, CEO and Executive Director of the company. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Rakesh Verma for his opening remarks. Post that, we will open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shobhit, and thanks to Anand Rathi Group for leading this analyst call. Welcome all of you who are participating in this call, and good morning. This is Rakesh Verma. I'll give you some opening remarks with some basic things for everyone to understand what the company has been doing and what the company is doing and what the company is generally planning to do going forward. I need to first definitely let you know, while you might be having the investor presentation in your hand, or you might have seen it, or some of you may not have seen it, so I would like to read out a few opening statements. In the Q2 fiscal year 2023, MapmyIndia delivered a good performance with quarterly revenue up 35% year-on-year to an all-time high of 76 crore. H1 fiscal year 2023 revenue was up 41% to 141 crore. EBITDA was up 32% year-on-year to 61 crore. EBITDA margin was at 43%. PAT went up 8% year-on-year to 50 crore, and PAT margin at 32%. Now, while we achieve our EBITDA expectations and the way we are operating this business, I would like to also comment on some of the things that we have recently done and what would be its benefit going forward. We really made three sets of organic investments in Q2 FY23, or let's say in the half year, that will help accelerate the company's growth in revenue and earnings in the future. Please note my statement, earnings in the future. These three investments are set of organic growth, organic investments with an eye towards the future, balancing both short and long-term goals of the growth, for growth and earnings, with the ultimate objective of further accelerating the company's future growth in revenues and earnings. First, in growing the scale of our recently acquired IoT-led business, Gtropy. I would like to address this first because we, CE Info Systems owns 76%+ of this IoT company. The focus has been on a very large multi-billion dollar addressable market of 20+ crores existing vehicles on road in India, which can benefit from Gtropy and MapmyIndia's combined IoT-led goods and logistics and people mobility SaaS. This has been one. To further elaborate on this Gtropy, I would like to share with you that when we make the investments, acquisitions for our future, both near term and long term, we keep an eye on how to acquire more and more customers in the B2B, B2C, B2B and B2B to BC, B2C business without sacrificing our general financial discipline. We have shared one slide in our investor presentation which shows very clearly that while in the consolidated business of the company, which includes G2OP, we have achieved a margin, EBITDA margin of 42.8% during the half year, fiscal year 23, on a revenue from operations of 141 crore. But if you see our consolidated business without G2OP, the EBITDA margin is 50% on a revenue from operation of 124 crores. What I'm trying to add, also a PAT margin of 37% without the G2OP acquisition, as against 32% with the G2OP. Now, first, let me share with you that G2OP is nothing but an IoT business. MapMyIndia has been in IoT business for a while, for many years. In order to accelerate the growth of IoT business because of the huge multi-billion dollar addressable market in India, we felt the need that a specific bandwidth for the IoT business is created within MapMyIndia. We had a choice of either hiring our own people internally or bringing in a company like G2OP. We evaluated that and we felt that acceleration can happen much better by acquiring G2OP. Now, what is the impact of that? The impact of that is while the map data and the core business of IoT, which MapMyIndia was doing before, created a EBITDA of almost 50%. The net effect of EBITDA came down to 43% with G2OP being there. The fundamental thing here to understand is the core business of the company has been creating cash profitability in a big way. Now, either we could have continued with that, or we had to look at the future accelerated growth. For that future accelerated growth, this G2OP has been acquired. The scale at which G2OP ultimately will also give us the similar kind of EBITDA, which the core business was doing, will take some time. And when I say some time, I mean the time of 6 months to 2-3 years. And that is our objective. That's how the management of this company is working. So we are very excited about it. And we feel that we have done the right thing by bringing in G2OP on board. So the second thing also important to understand, it's not an inorganic acquisition. It is very much part of organic growth of the company. Everything that is reported in the consolidated financial statements should be taken as part of the organic growth of the company only and not as an inorganic part. Secondly, when you see a dip in the market in the quarter for EBITDA, there have been a few other good reasons. While one side we are scaling up our business, which reflects in our revenue growth, we also felt the need that our marketing activities to build awareness of MapMyIndia and Mapples brand is very critical for the business. So we did accelerate our expenses on the marketing front in the Q2. We also invested money in building up the product portfolio, like the RealView, which you are hearing, like Metaverse. So these are all the expenses in the marketing side as well as on the product portfolio side, which will reap rewards in terms of new customer acquisition and new use cases adoption. Thirdly, the cutting edge product and platform development, which will further expand use cases, addressable markets, growth engines, and modes for MapMyIndia Mapples. So finally, also what we have done is we have invested 10 crores for 26% stake in a company, Kobo, a gamified social travel commerce platform, which will open up new markets and new use cases for us, and we are very excited about this strategic investment in Kobo. With these words and opening statements, I would like to hand over to Rohan Verma to explain more in detail how the business has performed and how he looks at the future.
Good morning, everybody. This is Rohan Verma, CEO and ED of MapMyIndia. So Q2 was a pretty exciting quarter for us. I mean, in terms of lots of action on various fronts, and I'll kind of go through that. And, you know, we've ended H1 FY23 on a strong note. So if you look at revenue growth, you know, it was broad-based for H1 FY23 versus H1 FY22. As we've always said, MapMyIndia is an annual basis. Look at us in a year-to-date. You will understand us better, given that we're in the mass, pass, SaaS space, where it's all about, you know, licensing or annual consumption or API transactions, etc. So A&M revenue is up 45%, automotive and mobility tech, and CNE, which is consumer tech and enterprise digital transformation, is up 29% on the market side. And on the product side, map and data was up 32%, and platform and IoT was up 49%. As Mr. Verma explained, our newly acquired G2P business, it grew fast in Q2. It actually doubled revenue versus Q1 FY23. And as scale and subsequent years, high-margin SaaS income of G2P will kick in. It's an IoT-led business. So what happens is initial margin gets compressed because you're selling a device. But what happens is in subsequent years, it's high-margin SaaS revenue. So that's, and besides the fact that acquiring customers, which G2P is helping us, or with G2P, we're able to acquire customers for the particular use case of logistics SaaS or mobility SaaS, we can upsell our entire range of products to such organizations, like I'll talk about later, cement companies, dairy companies, and other organizations that G2P is bringing into MapMyIndia's fold. Then on the marketing side, we calibrate our marketing expenses so that we can, and in this quarter, we calibrated it towards increasing the awareness of our MapMyIndia and Mapples brands and range of products, whether it's for our maps, whether it's for our different set of APIs, our drone-based solutions, our IoT solutions. And the idea is to create more awareness amongst and adoption amongst customers for different verticals and different use cases. And so that was an important activity that we undertook in this quarter. The good thing is our Swadeshi Mapples app and platform, meaning not just B2B and B2B2C, where we are very strong and intend to be very focused and strengthen ourselves even more on, but even the B2C side, the Swadeshi Mapples app that we have, is making further inroads. And that's in conjunction with strong government-led partnerships, and I'll talk about that. And this is at an interesting point where, you know, very organically, India is on an Atmanirbhar journey and inflection point. So it's working in our favor. As Mr. Verma said, on the product and platform side, we are investing in building our RealView 360-degree and Metaverse 3D maps. So let me explain, you know, what this is and why it's important, and why it's quite different than what the typical metaverse that people are understanding. This is creating the next generation of maps, which is not just 2D, but 360 degree and 3D. That opens up a whole new range of use cases. Of course, it makes, you know, 3D delivery to the doorstep on e-commerce delivery to the doorstep, meaning even in 3D, better. Or it gives enterprises who want to do site selection of where they should open up retail outlets by giving them the real view of that area, the 360 degree area view, better. Or if you look at the now back to exciting real estate market, where 360 degree and 3D of that area gives people better decision making. Or on the government side for infrastructure planning or smart city, or just generally for consumer mapping and navigation, the next level experience of AR or VR, you know, based on real world. That's what it's opening up for us across use cases. And again, we have many, many, so that's what's exciting. But also, we invested in our developer APIs, our NK suite, our digital transformation platform, and consumer-facing Mapples app. Now, what COGO is allowing us to do is, you know, adding on this these set of components of gamification, social, meaning social or community, travel-related content, planning, itineraries, and commerce, where you can book travel-related itineraries or, you know, products or services into our maps and navigation. Now, this is aligned quite nicely with what our automotive OEM customers are looking for, the next generation of connected navigation services or connected travel or location-based services. So this strengthens our use cases and additional offerings to OEMs and keeps differentiating us from, you know, whatever else options or substitutes or competitors that could possibly be there. Besides, of course, you know, opening up the further opening up B2C opportunities for our company and COGO combined in the future. So that, with that kind of you know, I'll point to other things. Financials, Mr. Verma has kind of talked about the headline numbers, the revenue and EBITDA. A note on the PAT: we had lower other income in this quarter, and the effective tax rate was higher. So that affected PAT margins and PAT growth also year on year. So I think the next point I wanted to make was on the consolidated revenue by markets and product line, where, you know, on A&M or C&E, as we've said before, we have a very strong open order book. We started the year with 600 crores, 699 crores of open order book. And so we are working through that order book, and hence revenue is a outcome of that, besides new sales and new order wins, which will impact the future revenue. So whether it's the automotive companies which are doing more sales and expected to continue to do more sales in the rest of the year, our revenue has grown well. Q2 year-on-year is not a good comparable. In general, year-to-date is a good comparable for MapmyIndia as a business. But specifically for automotive, the previous year Q1, meaning FY22 Q1, because of lockdowns, there was a spillover effect on Q2, and hence doing a Q2 comparison is probably not useful for A&M. And on the other side, our IoT sales to vehicles and fleet owners or fleet operators increased on the back of, as Mr. Verma said, bandwidth, focus, expanded distribution, and that will continue to scale, including enterprise sales reach. On the C&E side, which has grown 29%, you know, we are seeing broad-based growth across our consumer tech companies, traditional enterprises, even the public sector and government, which are all consuming more and more map data, APIs, what our digital transformation platform is, which is unique in the sense that brings the power of location and geospatial to it, and of course now IoT solutions as well. And map and data revenue and platform and IoT revenue are scaling up quickly. So I'll end with just two more things. One is that we've had a lot of customer wins across A&M and C&E. On automotive OEMs, we had a new large four-wheeler EV OEM sign up, and you'll see the effect of that in the years to come. And bunch of market-leading vehicles like Gloster and all of those of MG have gone live. Many businesses like cement companies, dairy companies, fintech companies, e-com, FMCG, health tech, even voice assistant or real estate, retail companies, many new customer acquisitions. And on the government side, road construction equipment for state road transport departments, IoT tracking of that, for civil supplies, distribution, IoT tracking, or map-based platforms for tourism, safe city, and drone solutions by energy company is. So a lot of good customer wins and a lot of strategic partnerships with government, which we've highlighted in the investor presentation and in our social media.
Thank you, Rohan. I think I'll hand it back to Shobhit.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Shobhit Singhal from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, sir. So I have a few two questions. On our C&E side, which is our fastest growing business segment, given the base. So in the first half FY 2023, we have grown at just 29% against 40-45% historically. So what the issues are we facing here? And the second question's on the margin side, given you have started investing in brand building and other two areas, so how should we look at our margins going forward? So earlier you have guided the range of around 35-45%. So is there any new guidance which you want to highlight?
Okay, first let me help answer your second question. The 35-45, I think we have achieved 40 in the half year. Again, I will say, always look at us as a year to date. In the H1 this year, I think we have achieved 43%. So that's pretty much within, not only within the range of 35-45, it is closer to 45 only. Now, I think probably you want to get and nail us down if we can give a lower band rather than a 10% band. If that's in your mind, let me help you with a very simple way. This percentage and the revenue also have to be linked. When we try to accelerate the top line, we may end up spending in two ways. One, either through the IoT business as one part, and the second part is also spending certain money in the product development, in the marketing expenses. Now, we calibrate this to ensure that if the top line, let's say it has grown 40% this time in the half year, keeping that in mind, we also plan our expenses. Now, 35-45, I know, is a wide range. If you can think of something, if you want me to nail it down, I'll say that we definitely do not want to be below 40 in the EBITDA side. That's not something which we are striving this year. We definitely are striving in that 40-45% area.
And on the question on C&E, see, our revenue every quarter is a function of our order book. Revenue, like you said, in C&E especially can be a bit lumpy. So you have to look at what the order book that we have and when the go lives of such solutions happen. And then the revenues start kicking in. So nothing to really worry about on CNE. It is just a function of what the order book was and is. In fact, it's very heartening to see that we are continuously acquiring more and more customers which are all blue chip, all the good names across categories of consumer tech or traditional enterprises across verticals or on the public sector. So, you know, I would just say keep watching out for what how the overall year stacks up for CNE, but it's in a good good shape.
Okay, thank you, sir. So I will come on to you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Sameer Dosani from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just want to understand, the G3P revenues is included in ANM or is it in CNE?
It's in both. Actually, it depends on the particular use case. You know, is it enabling an enterprise digital transformation or is it enabling a mobility use case? So, you know, so it you start seeing the effect of that in both.
So if I were to see H1 FY23 ANM without G3P, what would the number be?
Sorry?
ANM revenue is 72 crores in H1 FY23. What would be the revenue excluding G3P here?
It would still be a specific number. We can either get back or we don't have to get into the specific number at least on this call. But given that automotive sales have grown, our ANM in general also has grown even ex G2P.
Exactly. So that was my question. See, auto and we are majorly on PV side, right? Passenger vehicle side. So, if you look at passenger vehicle sales, H1 FY23 versus FY22, it has been 40% growth. So, want to understand whether what was our growth on excluding G3P here? Because
yeah, it would be similar. I mean, it would be similar. So
we would be more or less tracking this market growth only, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Also the new OEM added. How big is this OEM that you have added? Can you give some color? I mean,
yeah, it's I guess, I mean, it's in the, we don't want to be specific till the time they don't go live with the solution. Okay. It's not too far they go live, okay. You know, in the next 6 months, but definitely it's in the top four OEMs. So
okay. And also to understand the CNE market, what is the longer term growth that we should understand, and how should we look at the growth profile of this business, the CNE side? Thanks.
I wish I can give you exact answer, but what we always think of is how our total business grows. It really doesn't matter so much to us between ANM and CNE in general, excluding the devices part of it. So if the overall growth is happening in a healthy manner within the range as we talk about the profitability, and the growth is happening the way it has happened, 40%, like that, probably we should not get too much mixed up between the CNE and ANM. Currently also it is maintained at almost 50-50% if you see the numbers, almost.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, each of them have their growth vectors, as we've said before. Automotive is tracking the overall new vehicle sales and the adoption of NCase within that. Those are both on growth vectors. Then mobility and some part of CNE, which is driven by the logistics-based digital transformation, is tracking that existing base of vehicles and logistics optimization market, which is again quite large. And consumer tech is basically more and more apps which are, you know, consuming APIs of ours and enterprises which are generally digitally transforming. So each of these are...
And digital transformation of government.
Yeah, enterprise digital transformation includes the government digitization that is happening in a big way, decade, what the Honorable Prime Minister also talks about. And so you've seen a lot of wins in the last year based on our platform on the central government, state government and local government or smart city level as well. So, you know, all of these are slightly different growth vectors, And each of them has a lot of promise. It's about how much, you know, and how fast and how much we want to and we can, you know, invest in creating while maintaining some fiscal discipline, which is, you know, that balance that we look to strike.
So just to understand, CAD, how much percentage of or how big is the portion that is API dependent and how much is your other revenue? Because API is basically you get it on per order or per use basis. So if you can split that, is that possible?
I would say it's roughly half and half. I mean, just to give you some flavor.
Okay. Because if I look at overall growth, right, excluding Gtropy, I think last year was around 30-32%. Now it has fallen, but it has normalized to 25% for H1. So that was nice. Okay.
If you look at business, Gtropy is, as a standalone company, their growth, which we've said, you know, doubled in Q2 versus Q1, a lot of it is also attributed to MapmyIndia's existing IoT business that we are combining with them. I mean, if you look at MapmyIndia's organic business, it continues to grow. Adding on Gtropy helps us create a focus and bandwidth within the company or the group companies, so that, you know, different business leaders and different organizations can focus on achieving on the addressable market. So, I mean, overall also companies doing well, but Gtropy will further help accelerate that.
Okay. So what is the, if I look at only Gtropy, what is the margin profile that is sustainable after maybe 2 years, as you said, that is when SaaS revenues or the margin will come back. So what is the kind of growth profile of this business and what is the margin profile that we should expect from this business after a certain scale?
There are two components to the business. One is the device-led sales and the other is the pure SaaS sales.
And the third is the device-led SaaS.
So the revenue mix will evolve for the company. The more we are on pure play SaaS and no device or, you know, it is very, very high margin. I mean, like our core existing business. Device-led SaaS is important because devices get your foot in the door. Now, when you are part of a logistics company's operation, let me just say like a cement company, where they are every day tracking their shipments using your device and the SaaS associated with it, then you become a core part of their operations. The stickiness is very high. And so that's why you see cement companies, dairy companies, logistics organizations continuously use us. So, the revenue mix over the course of next 2-3 years will determine a kind of a stable EBITDA level. And that's what, you know, we are working with them. We are focusing our efforts on which markets to market segments to focus on. Specifically, you want to talk if you want to wait?
I think if you're asking more on this topic of the IoT and related, as I said in the beginning itself, that the core business of map data based products and platform also, along with that, there was an IoT also that was a product and platform based, less of devices. And there was a certain level of growth happening in that, what has happened in the past. What we felt was that device-led, if we create the business, the growth will accelerate at a much faster pace. And the moment we have entered with the devices with a customer, particularly B2B customer, the SaaS automatically kicks in. It's just a matter of some time, because it may be 6 months later, 12 months later, and that SaaS gives us back the same kind of profitability which our other the existing business was doing. So that's the way you should look at it. In any case, without that IoT thing, the growth has been 30% plus.
Right. So just to understand this business more, so Once you sell a device, let's say for 100, what is the kind of SaaS revenue that kicks in every year? Would be 15, 20? If you can just, I just want to understand more. So if you're selling in year one, the investment of the device is 100 rupees. The next year, what would be the SaaS revenue of this tracking device? Would it be 10, 20, 50? If you can just...
It could be in the range of, 25 to 50, maybe 33, 40. I'm just giving you an idea
right.
of the subsequent SaaS yearly revenue from that
okay. device. And then on this device, we are making less margin, right? Okay. And then SaaS would
the
be a very high margin. That will compensate.
That's what's compressing the margin as in the beginning.
Right. No, thanks. Thanks for the answers. All the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vimal Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah, great. Sir, just one clarification. This quarter, or rather for the first half of the year, I think Gtropy has done the revenue of how much? Would it be closer to 2 crores, if I'm not wrong?
Around
24
crores is the
20.
First half.
Sorry, 24 crores. Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. And this number in FY21 was around 8 crores, if I'm not wrong, right?
Gtropy's own business, which they
right.
did.
The 24 crores is the entire IoT piece that you're referring to, right? I'm just talking about a standalone Gtropy business, a like-to-like revenue which you reported in FY21, which was 8 crores. How much was that in H1 of 23?
Actually, just to give you more depth into the accounting side, out of that 24, 25 crores with Gtropy shows as a revenue, around 8 crores went to, they built MapMyIndia. Because the business came from MapMyIndia to Gtropy for execution. So, if you look at it that way, and then MapMyIndia might have billed to the customers for 10 crores with its own margin. So, the net for Gtropy becomes then 16 without MapMyIndia business. That's the another way to look at it.
In the first half?
In the first half.
8, for them for the full year?
Last year, on their without MapMyIndia.
Got it. So, basically, we've already doubled our revenues in Gtropy in the first half itself.
The benefit to Gtropy has been with MapMyIndia backing it that they have the muscle to accelerate their own growth. Plus, for MapMyIndia, the benefit, even if you look at MapMyIndia's first half revenue, or IoT revenue from first half, it was relatively lower. So that also benefit we have gotten. Overall, the IoT revenue has accelerated quite quickly in that first 6 months.
Got it. Sir, and just on Gtropy, in your opening remarks, you commented that Gtropy is expected to sort of improve EBITDA, or I'm not sure if you meant that, it will come back to company level EBITDA, but you said that it will take around 6 months to 2 years. So that's a pretty wide band again to understand. So with Gtropy, when you say 6 months to 2 years, are you talking of Gtropy coming to company level EBITDA, or it will stay because it has a bit of hardware component? It will be at a slightly lower range in terms of profitability going forward structurally.
Structurally, it is bound to have a little lower level of profitability than the other one. But then when you look, whatever that level of profitability is, will add on to the overall profitability of the company in absolute terms. If you look at the PAT as an absolute number, the margin, if you are thinking of as a PAT as a percentage margin of the revenue, yes, or EBIT, not PAT so much, EBITDA, let me tell you, as a margin, we have seen the effect this quarter also and this half year also. So what looks like this quarter or this half year particularly is something which is which is not out of line in the for the next 2 years. It will be a journey. Definitely, what is happening is, let's say you sell the device today and the SaaS kicks in for that 6 months later, the SaaS revenue now starts giving you a huge EBITDA because the operating leverage kicks in for them. But then that 6 months again, they will sell more devices. Whose EBITDA will happen again, SaaS revenue will happen again 6 months later. So that is how you keep building the SaaS revenue with some lag.
Got it, sir. My question is on your other expenses line item, which I think, thank you so much for providing the breakup this time around. I hope this continues. What I noticed is that sales and promotion expenses have doubled, even on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Now, was this on expected lines for the company? That is point number one. And if you now are spending, if your spending intensity has increased substantially, would your own growth estimates, that is top line growth estimates, would increase, or is it that your top line growth estimates remain the same? It is just that your spending intensity or your sales and promotion intensity will have to be more because of, you know, maybe competition increasing, or it's just that, you know, the business now requires slightly more grow that much. So how would you look at that?
Okay, first of all, let me address it saying that whatever the budget we prepare for the year, and then we move it down to quarter by quarter internal management control, we stay within that. How do we stay within that? We, for the quarter internally, beginning of the quarter, we try to see what would be the revenue that quarter and what would be the EBITDA, and then look at how much we should spend also on the marketing expenses. The marketing expenses can be unlimited also. I mean, we can spend 100 crores of rupees just and try to get lot of new businesses. But whether it is wise or not in the current scenario of a listed company, we also are get concerned about it. And hence, we say that, okay, we have talked about 35% to 45% EBITDA. Can we stay within that range, or whether 40% plus, can we spend within, can we stay within that range? How much money is available for that? That's what Rohan was talking about, calibrating our marketing expense.
And also, you know, so we use these opportunities when we calibrate to increase at least, to basically create awareness and future demand for, let's say, new set of use cases. And so the revenue impact of that may come immediately, that is fine, or it may create something that will be a growth engine for the future. So I would just say that, look, we have a pretty, optimistic and belief that there's a very large set of addressable markets for MapmyIndia ahead of us in the medium and long term. And if we do the judicious investments at the right time, then we'll be well positioned to take care of that. To make sure that we can capture that when the market, is in front of us. So we are careful with it, and we do different types of investment in marketing for different objectives. Some could be brand, some brand related. Some could be promotion of particular set of products or new set of use cases related.
Sorry to interrupt,
Mr. Goel. Sir, may we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to two per participant only. The next question is on the line of Anmol Garg from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Actually, I had a couple of questions. So, firstly, wanted to ask that we have been doing various initiatives with the government. So, what kind of revenue can be expected out of this, and can any large contract can also be expected from the government initiatives that we are taking?
There's multiple reasons why we partner with the government, and really the end objective is to be part of population scale platforms. You know, the government has big plans for digital transformation, and geospatial and even IoT maps, the areas that we are in, can play a critical role. So and each partnership is slightly different also. Like ULIP, which is the Unified Logistics Interface Platform, government announced it with National Logistics Policy. Honorable Prime Minister even visited our stall to see kind of what all we are doing and then tweeted about it. This is going to be UPI for logistics, meaning every logistics transaction in the country will eventually get digitized and put on ULIP. And we are the mapping solution around that. So it becomes an interesting thing that as this scales, I mean, this is a little bit corollary to ONDC, which is slightly different area, and you are seeing ONDC take shape in the country as the next part of India's stack. ULIP is also going to take part as next part of India's stack. So that will have an impact going future. The other part, what we've done with Uttar Pradesh Police, this really is to address 26 crore citizens or commuters within Uttar Pradesh. 20% of India's population are being told and promoted about Mappls app and Mappls platform as being the de facto official Swadeshi maps and navigation app, through which the UP police is also, through us, giving the traffic advisories and road safety information and taking the reverse feedback and fixing. There'll be a lot of allied revenue that will come as we start getting embedded in smart cities and traffic and police and emergency response that will come as a result of that. And the last, at the state level, what we are doing with Delhi government for EV charge station site selection using our geospatial analytics platform. Just recently, in fact, Delhi government invited many, many PSUs who all want to get into, all the oil and gas companies, PSUs want to get into EV. Lot of the distribution companies, the infra companies around EV, they had invited them all and got Mapillary to present what work we are doing and ask them to collaborate with us, which will generate revenue for us. So these are different areas, different geographies and different government levels we are participating in. Parallelly, we are winning already contracts with the government, and that we have put in the customer wins, like a state road transport corporation or civil supplies, or state roadways department, or tourism department of a state, or state cities. So that continues to be the near-term revenue, and the other partnerships are serving different needs for the company for future.
Thanks, Rohan. Just to dwell a little more into this, so you highlighted about the ULIP program, and it's a pretty large program from the government. So what kind of opportunity is this particularly from your point of view?
We don't want to comment on the specific revenue opportunity till the time ULIP, you know, it's still in beta phase. So, and the government will come out with its kind of, specific policies and transactions and revenue models around ULIP. So I think it's a bit premature for us to kind of talk about revenue specifically that will come from us, from it to us, but you know, it's good that we are deeply embedded in the platform as the map API.
Sure. And secondly,
Interrupt, Mr. Garg, may we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Mohit Chandani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, thank you for taking my question. My first question was on the CNE segment. So are you seeing any sort of slowdown from your fintech and e-commerce clients, given that there is a funding slowdown in those segments? So are you seeing any slowdown there?
No, not at all. I mean, see, we are riding the consumption wave. You know, more and more consumption is happening. More and more digital, e-commerce transactions, fintech transactions are happening in the country. So we are riding the consumption wave that is of course secularly growing.
If you are relating to slowdown in our growth in the C&D compared to some previous numbers, I don't know if you are relating something like that. Remember always there are some lumpy revenue booking that happens in C&D.
Okay. Sure, got it. Thank you for that. Also, I wanted to understand, are you seeing greater traction in the EV two-wheeler space? Because that's a space that's growing pretty fast. So if MapMind is gaining traction there?
Yeah, hugely. I think pretty much almost all EV OEMs, not all, I would not make that statement because not everybody
majority.
Has come out. Yeah, majority of EV OEMs are two-wheelers, are looking at this end case. We are already there. In a few and more have signed up, so they will go live soon. So yeah, this is definitely a strong space for us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Nitin Sharma from MC Pro Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Would like to understand more about the 3D/360-degree maps. Does the bundle that you offer to customer differ pricing-wise? Some understanding on the overall potential of it.
Sure. As we explained before, our map data is overall, what is this? It's a 4D digital map twin of the real world, meaning we are representing the physical real world digitally through our map data. This enables all sorts of use cases, whether for e-commerce or fintech or government planning or navigation or tracking, etc., etc. Now, with 360-degree panoramic views, as well as the 3D metaverse, 3D metaverse maps, what we are able to do is allow, for example, let's take real estate. Now, anybody wanting to do a real estate purchase would love to see how the view will look like from the flat on a particular floor that they are going to buy. And in that perspective, all the 3D of the neighboring areas would be very relevant besides the 3D of the tower and society, etc. Or similarly, the 360-degree view of how the area as they are driving around looks like will help them. So that's one use case. Like that, I can say many, many use cases. I talked about it in the beginning. The revenue model around these is similar to our maps and our APIs. So it's part of our maps, SaaS, PaaS offering. It's just a more advanced solution that enables us to continue to offer kind of best-in-class, first-in-class, unique solutions. That keep us ahead. So similar kind of revenue model for us going forward for these 3DMC 60 degrees. Just that we are at the cutting edge, disruptive level of innovation here.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Srishti Jain from Arthya Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Can you just help me with the new order bookings for H1 FY23 or the total order book as on H1?
We talk about annual new order bookings and open order book. This is a year-end number that we talk about because order bookings are throughout the years and can get bunched up here or there. What I can tell you, at least qualitatively, is the many customer wins we've had, which are new orders that we have booked across A&M and C&E, and we've kind of talked about it in our investor deck, whether on the large four-wheeler EV OEM, and these are just Q2 related, Q1 we have anyways talked about previously, or cement companies, dairy companies, fintech. I think I referred to it earlier in the call as well. Lots of order wins. And the pipeline is also looking strong. So I would just say wait for the year-end numbers around this.
Oh, sure, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Sameer Dasani from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one question. So without Gtropy, you have disclosed H1 numbers. So here the margin has moved up to 50% now, right? So how is this kind of sustainable? Because we'll have to do some investments also. So what should be, if I look at without Gtropy, what would be that looking like for you?
Actually, we should all look at group level EBITDA.
Okay.
This was only shown for you to make sure that people understand that the other side has not fallen apart or anything like that. Just to clarify that, we made that slide.
Okay. And also one clarification on the service component on the Gtropy, right? Here we don't that you spoke, right? On 100 rupee device sold, you would have 30-35 rupees service component. Here, the service cost would be very low because the mats are already there. You have already done that. So, the service cost of that service revenue would be very less, right? I mean,
yeah, that's true. So, there could be a huge, that's the SaaS part of it. That could be a huge contribution profit. But then, along with that, you are also keep selling the devices.
I mean, new devices.
New customers or whoever. So then it works out an overall kind of a scenario.
Right. Understood. No, thanks. That's it from my side. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Swecha from ANS Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving this opportunity. I just wanted to understand, in terms of revenue, you think in next 3-4 years, can we double the revenue from current run rate? Like, can we do around 500-550 crores of revenue? And, you know, whenever we do that, you know, first, can we do that in 3 years, 3-4 years? If yes, you know, what kind of, margins, you know, can be there? Would we be able to maintain the same margin to do a 500, say 600 crores kind of a revenue? Just want to understand that on a very broad basis.
3-4 years you are talking about becomes a little longer term because we are a tech company and we need to, but however, to answer your question, since we are fundamentally a product and a platform company, case of IoT, maybe it is a device-led, but in other cases, there could be a digital transformation happening in the country. The other one, in the automotive, there is something else, OEM with N case. So, the way we have structured our business and the fiscal discipline is operate within a certain metric. And the metric we have shared, so whether it is 500 crore revenue, 400 crore revenue, 600 crore revenue, we certainly our objective would be to strive for what metric we have set for ourselves.
Open order book and the progression of order bookings and open order book, last few years will also give you some sense of kind of what base revenue anyways we expect for the future years. So, and then add on to that new order bookings, which will generate revenue.
Further, I'll just add, we started with 150 crores for fiscal year 21, and we are reaching almost doubling that this financial year.
Right.
So all this can give you some indicator. I mean, future will tell us what happens, but at least the past indicator is there, how we maintain the fiscal discipline.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Sasha Sanwal from Millingtonia Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Just two questions here. Firstly, just to go back to Gtropy again, could we just get more clarity on, one, what is kind of the margin on the IoT? So, are you getting it for a zero margin just to take into the customer? And then, just any kind of color you can give us on, if you think about the Gtropy business, there's just a thinking of the GPS location, but then there's analytics that you can have over and above that There are things like supply chain, logistics, route management, right? If you could just give us a sense of how you see that business shaking out and what your customer conversations are that you're having right now.
I couldn't hear clearly the second part of your question, just if you don't mind if you can repeat that.
Just if you could give us more color on just the conversations you're having. So they're different use cases all the way from the simple, you know, this is the GPS ping to your asset or your vehicle is at this one location, all the way to, you know, analytics where you help
okay,
with supply chain, logistics,
yeah.
You know, time to target and, you know, things like that. Just what sorts of conversations are you having?
That's right. I mean, just use the example, let's say, of a cement company which wants to track its shipments and wants to make sure that, you know, the shipments are on time, and then they want to optimize the routes that the shipment is taking so that it can basically, at the end of the day, everybody is trying to minimize their logistics efficiency, minimize their logistics cost, and maximize the SLA, meaning on-time arrival, and the serviceability that they can do, and MapFrontier kind of is at the center of kind of enabling that. So it's a very exciting time to be talking to different verticals of customers in private and public sector who are all kind of, you know, or if you look, who are all trying to achieve this goal, and that's kind of the set of conversations we are having. And the first part, I think we've given some colors already to on the other questions, so I'll not, I'll skip that for now.
Okay, and then just the second question, just to, you know, if I could just get a better sense maybe of your strategic investments and how you're thinking about the future. So, for example, you know, last quarter there was some talk about an international expansion that did not come up this quarter. And, you know, and this quarter, you know, on the geospatial side, the, you know, the big gorilla in the room, you know, announced his re-entry into 3D images, and we had an announcement.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Your voice is coming quite disturbed. So
okay.
Maybe there is a problem with the mobile phone. Are you using the mobile phone?
Yes, I am. Is that better?
Sasha, your audio is sounding very soft.
Okay. Yeah, is this better?
Yes,
is this better? Sorry about that.
Okay, please proceed.
Okay, perfect. Strategic investments again. You know, last quarter, international expansion was mentioned. You know, you've made more of a focus for the last two quarters about just the consumer facing app, you know, versus just being B2B or B2B2C before. So we'd just love to get a sense of, as you're thinking 2-3 years out in terms of your potential investments, right?
Yeah.
Just how are you thinking, you know, how are you strategically thinking about, you know, these different tools?
Yeah, I mean, see, even during the IPO process and outside also, we talked about that, look, this international and consumer are optionality factors that we have beyond our core, very strong, growing B2B, B2B2C business in India. And the third we had talked about was IoT, if you recall. So these are very good, interesting areas, consumers. International, anyways, is a journey. It is a function of kind of, you know, we've set up office in Korea, we have an APAC presence, we have set up presence in the US, or we have a US focus, Middle East, we were at Jitex. So these will unfold with results in the next 1-3 years. I mean, we've never said that, you know, count on that in the beginning, because we want to do it in the right way, in a calibrated manner. And similarly on consumer also, we've always said that we want to do it at the right time in the right way. And just, I mean, you know, the interesting thing people must have seen and should see is what CCI or Competition Commission has done the judgment against Google for, you know, Android preloading, etc. This came last week. So it's something interesting that you should keep tracking what is happening for indigenous apps. Of course, MapFrontier is kind of the leading one in the mapping space. So the right time in the right way. We are definitely keen on these in the next 2-3 years as additional growth engines for the company.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from AlfAccurate PMS. Please go ahead. Amar Maurya, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
So, sir, in terms of your 22 order book, like fixed price is largely the auto business?
No, the volume business or fixed price.
No, no, auto business, auto OEM business is mostly the volume based business.
Volume.
The fixed price normally comes in the C&E side.
Yeah, and use case driven.
Okay. And let's say when you say fixed price business, volume business is auto business. So is it fair to assume 85 to 90% business is largely a auto business in this volume business?
No, not it. I mean, of the volume business, what is the volume business? One is the automotive OEM, every car that goes out. Volume business could be also API transactions.
No, API transactions we book as and when
huh.
we.
I'm talking about revenue. Huh. I'm talking about the revenue side. The API transaction.
Revenue is what Mr. was talking about. Yeah.
So that's also a volume business.
From the order book side, I would say probably the large majority of volume based is automotive.
Okay. So is it like 80%, 90% order book would be the automobile order business? API would be very small portion into that?
The component of open order book, which is volume based, large majority of that
is 80-90.
I'm saying percentage wise, is it 80-90% of the order book which we report, is it the automobile business order book?
No. Our order book, let's
clarify. There is an annual order booking during the whole year, new orders we keep winning, and then there is an open order at the beginning of the year, the orders that would get executed.
Correct. I'm asking for the new order book. In a new order book, we give the split, right? Every year, we give the split between the volume business and the project business. I mean, and the fixed price business. So I'm asking in the volume business, when you say that majority is the automobile business, is it like 80 to 90% of that business is the automobile business?
It's not 80-90. Maybe.
No. The split between volume and fixed pricing is there. You shared it in the presentation.
Correct. Got it, sir. I'm just asking about in terms of the fixed volume business. As you said that volume business is majority is the automobile business. Can you just
quantify volume projection business?
Is it like 85-90% business is the volume business in the new order book?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not giving a specific number. I'm just saying large majority of that is, but yeah.
And secondly, sir, like, you know, as you said that normally in terms of the execution pipeline, this automobile business is largely a 4-year kind of a contract and CME is like a 3-year kind of a contract in terms of the execution. So I'm just trying to understand, if you see your pipeline, are you on the track of that 3-4 years in terms of the quarterly number, or you are lagging behind? Because what I calculate is that probably with that, I think we are significantly lagging behind in the consumer business.
I don't think we are lagging behind based on the profile of our order book.
Because if I see your first half revenue from the consumer electric business, is round about consumer tech business is round about what? I think 70 crore business, right? And if you just multiply by 2, that is 70 crore business. 134-135 crore business. But if I see the order backlog and if I divide it by 3 based on the new order booking, ideally the run rate should be something around, even if I consider 70% of that, ideally the run rate should be something around 60 crore kind of a run rate quarterly basis. So do you feel that we are on track in terms of the consumer business?
Two things I'll say. One is that, you know, you should do the analysis on an annual basis, because it's, like we've said, this is an annual business. And the second is, if you were doing 50 crore quarterly for CNE, then our numbers would have been much more in first half. So, I mean, I would just say that, you know, our revenue is a function of our order booking. We have given overall number to you. So look at the overall number at a company level, and then see. And at the end of the year, yeah, it's worth having this discussion that, you know, are we tracking or not tracking? In our assessment, we are tracking.
Okay, so basically, in terms of, let's say, the annual growth.
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Maurya, may we request that you return to the question queue?
Ma'am, can I just finish this question? Is this the extension of the, basically, the first question only?
Sir, there are participants waiting for the agenda.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Anmol Garg from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Just had one question. Just wanted to get an outlook on the Gtropy business for rest of the year, FY23, for 2H FY23. Can we expect a similar amount of growth that we have seen in this quarter to continue in the next two quarters as well? And if that is the case, then still we can expect that the margins for the consolidated entity will be above 40% for 2H, given that relatively now that we are selling more devices, therefore the margins are lower in the Gtropy business. So your color on into that.
The first question you asked, they doubled from the last quarter to this quarter. We are only expecting them to keep increasing for the next two quarters also. Exact numbers very difficult for me to predict, but the signs are all looking good. The second one related to the margin. Yes, for the 24 crores of business that went through Gtropy, let me again clarify, out of that, 8 crores were they billed to MapmyIndia only for MapmyIndia's onward billing, which was less of devices, more of SaaS. So now the impact of this 24 crores overall on Gtropy led to Gtropy having an EBITDA close to zero. So at least they are not that kind of a EBITDA negative. So anything that they do better for the next two quarters than 24 probably should start giving some indication of what happens to their EBITDA. So that's my simple answer.
We want them to contribute in absolute terms to the profitability. That's very important to us. So, and also, of course, you know, we as a company, as a group, we have fiscal discipline kind of ingrained in our DNA. So we look at both things. And
sir, what I mean to ask is that if the Gtropy grows faster than the consolidated business in 2H as well, and if the proportion of Gtropy business continue to increase within our business, so in that case, will we be able to maintain a 40% type of margins for the next two quarters as well? So that is something that I wanted to ask.
Like I said, you know, we are looking at, you know, maintaining a certain fiscal discipline and a certain range in mind. So
if I can just say, in the lighter vein, if we find that our fiscal discipline is not maintainable within that range of what I said in the morning, 40 to 45%, because Gtropy grows wants to sell devices only, probably we may block that device kind of a sale. So it's, some of those things are internal management control is what we want to achieve. And I think we are trying to give that clarity to all the analysts and shareholders that we always look at shareholders' interest.
Sure, sir. Thanks. That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikunj Mehta from Wealth Guardian. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Just wanted to clarify something on in terms of understanding. When we update our maps, we do it by means of feet on street, right?
We have multiple ways. I think during the IPO process also we explained it. It's
okay.
Quite interesting that we use the network effect of data collection, let's say from tracking devices, from API transactions, besides the analytics and AI that we apply on these real view 360 degree of 400 crore plus, you know, geotagged photos, panoramas, videos that we have. besides our team that is there, which kind of falls under more fixed cost. So there, that is what has kind of differentiated or made MapMyIndia unique compared to the global peers who are, you know, who have struggled with cost structure. We are highly technology oriented and cost efficient.
But if I'm right, Google does it by means of satellites. So wouldn't that be a more cost efficient and a better way to go about, because sending people, when so much of infrastructure development is happening on the roads and capturing everything by means of feet on street versus satellite, what is your thought, which is a better way to go about it in terms of cost as well as accuracy of maps?
It is a combination of all of them.
Yeah.
Because the satellite gives you some advantages, certain no advantage. Like satellite will not tell you what is this house number, building name and all that. A drone might give you a better panoramic view, which gives you another perspective. The feet on the street validates certain things and gets certain details which no other technology can provide. Feedback like the UP police Rohan was talking about, and many such cases where the real-time update of what's happening, the tracking devices, IoT, gives you a traffic information which helps us give the estimated travel time. So it's a combination of all of them, and the best part is this is our area of excellence, where we have been able to, over a period of 25 years, we have mastered this art of what is the most optimal way of achieving the accuracy and achieving the lowest cost. And that's the beauty of how we are managing our map data product.
That's very interesting and useful, sir. Thank you. And my second question is, you know, you have a lot of cash in the balance sheet now, and I understand we are increasing our marketing spend as well as looking at acquisition opportunities. I would like to get your thoughts on your dividend payout policy. How do you think you'll be going about it for the next 2-3 years?
See, first let me say that dividend payout policy we have spelled out in our policy statements already. The policy clearly says that the board of directors will make a decision on what policy, what kind of dividends to be paid out. Definitely, dividends will be paid out. That's not the question. That's not something we need to worry about. How much to be paid out? This time we believe that it's better that we do the entire annual exercise of the annual performance, and based on that, the board will take a call and make the dividend payment at one time, rather than also unnecessarily going through the compliance problem of declaring an interim dividend and again later filing it for the final dividend. So we just want to make one single time final dividend payment based on the annual results.
Right, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Nitin Chaudhary from Chris. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on set of good numbers. So just wanted to ask one thing, that, you know, when you're doing these set of acquisitions, I understand that you're looking at adjacent metrics, adjacent businesses like the Geotropy business and Koho. So can you just throw some light as to what goes in your mind when you are evaluating a business? And can you throw some more light on how you will monetize Koho? Because, you know, I just wanted to understand that it's a gaming company, or what sort of business avenues can come from that business in future?
Yeah. See, what's going on our mind is clearly kind of, you know, whether acquisitions will help us generate more revenue, or revenue-led acquisitions, what we call, that, you know, they will get us more customers, or that they will enhance our product portfolio that we can upsell to our existing customers. So with Geotropy, that was exactly the idea, that they already had a set of customers. We can upsell, cross-sell to them our rest of solutions. And they brought in this logistics SaaS, which products and IoT products that MapReady didn't have. So, you know, that combined is quite a formidable IoT and logistics SaaS and mobility SaaS core business, I mean, pure play business with the added advantage of the portfolio of MapMyIndia. So, clearly that was to help accelerate revenue, and that's short-term revenue generation and long-term earnings, generation. With Kogo, basically, you can think of it as an app, actually, which allows you to plan, discover, share itineraries. As you travel, you can share kind of where you went, so like an Instagram for travel. But also you can then do bookings, of travel itineraries as well as travel-related goods and services. So as you step out, what are the things you need, experiences, etc. So travel commerce. And what they have done is they have gamified this entire thing so that any activity you do on the Kogo app or platform, you earn coins, which you can spend to get discounts so that you burn it through the network. So there is a strong revenue model built into Kogo, and we are monetizing it in two ways. One is through our, continuing to sell this to our OEMs, customers as add-on solutions. And then, of course, there will be a direct-to-consumer monetization opportunity because, people can buy the Kogo subscription. So actually, it's a subscription business also. But if you buy a subscription, then you get three times the discounts that you otherwise would have gotten. So there's a direct-to-customer monetization also, and then there will be some enterprise opportunities also that will arise. So that's kind of, so that's kind of what was going on in our mind with Kogo, that, shore up our automotive NKS offering and open up this travel commerce and D2C kind of business for the future.
Got it. Makes sense. Just one follow-up question. Everything will be on subscription based and not going down the advertising model, right? Even in Kogo.
See, till now we have not been in the advertising business, but, I don't want to preclude anything for the long-term future. See, what we are strong proponents of is user privacy. We don't believe in this kind of ad user targeting and mining. That's the Google route, which we are not a fan of, and we believe that is getting cracked down upon. So I don't want to preclude future revenue models, but we will do things in the right way so that people benefit and people get positive value from our products.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shobhit Singhal for his closing comments.
I would like to thank the management and the participants for coming on the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.